sit down, think about what you want, got to be higher. And 2, 3, 4, 5, pick on the baby father, run off, can't take the responsibility. Left you dry, pan social security. Think who you are and who you grind be. And take your time, take care of your picnic. And this a man out there will share your responsibility. Care your picnic, lick them my mom down
grass. Well, I want you to know when you're there for me, but things it up. Just remember, I love the good sense of my birds. See, you're this one, catch it. Well, if you're looking at me, I them red. I know red, I mean red, I mean just for now begin. You're looking at me eyes, and me eyes, them red. I know red, I mean red, I mean just for now begin. But now begin, ah, yes, I'm gonna write some lyrics. Write some lyrics, become a physical.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, Sister Malika is on the line. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Blessed
love, sis. And blessed holiday greetings to you and your family.
Also to you. Give thanks.
Well, I played 2 cuts, and I said we're going to come back to, because, you know, sis, I've been maybe 4 hours mm-hmm. playing women. mm-hmm. So, you know, we played the first 2 cuts from the new CD, Healing. Mm-hmm. And you want to let the ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, know who you are, what you're about, and where you're from.
Okay, well, my name is Malika Madremana. I'm also known as Mother Sister. I've been in the West Coast for a while now, originally from New York, but right now I'm living in Sacramento. I'm trying to put forth some good works. In the past few years, I've been really busy in the studio trying to prepare a number of different releases that are coming out right now. And I'm trying to represent as a voice for Rastafari, as a voice for Jah. And represent a new power in this new age right now. We have a tremendous struggle that's ahead of us, especially with these youth, and I'm a teacher, so I teach both in the classroom and over the airwaves, so, yeah.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. So you are giving the insight to the young ones, and that's important.
Mm-hmm.
And you have some of your own?
3.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Mama.
2, indeed. Mother, sister, it's a well-earned title, trust me,
Indeed, indeed. So, let me get understand a little bit about your background, because they say Puerto Rico. I mean, you say Puerto Rico is where you were born originally?
New York City.
Oh, you were born in New York City mm-hmm. originally. Okay, okay. All right. And the Bronx, Brooklyn, Manhattan?
Manhattan.
All right, you're from my borough. My And how long has reggae music really grabbed you? How long have you been involved in it? How long, when did you first get involved in it? And what was it that drawed you to the music?
Well, I'm never ashamed to admit I'm 32 years old. I should say 32 years young, rather.
Uh-huh.
As a teenager, you know, growing up in the mid-80s is when I was really introduced as a teenager, you know, to Bob Marley and Steel Pulse, Jacob Miller even, Peter Tosh. And I've always been a rebel. You know, I always knew that there's a lot of things that weren't right in this world, you know, and I gravitated towards the music that was explaining things and making sense of the injustice in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what drew me in, and I was hooked ever since. So, yeah, I just was listening, you know, faithful listener to reggae music since I was about 16 years old, you know, so half my life. And it just evolved and evolved. I became an activist, a social activist. I do a lot of things in my community, and even through my school when I was in college, I was always involved in a radical element of life, and reggae just seemed to be the perfect vehicle for that type of lifestyle.
And meeting good people and meeting interesting people, because it's done that for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, when you become a part of this, you know, within Rastafari, you realize that you know, Jah's children have spread through four corners of the earth. You know, it is not a continent where you can't find somebody that's doing Jah works and that gets it. As many people in this world out, it seems like they don't get it. You know, this world is just crazy and they don't get it. But then you run into your brethren and sister and who know, and it just makes it all that worthwhile. It justifies your struggle when you meet like-minded people who are fighting, and they may not even speak your language, but they're fighting the same struggle, so you know it lives, you know? So
yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, sis. Now, we know what our youth are influenced by is this media bombardment of negative images of I&I culture, you know. And how do you get across to young people, especially the students that you have, that there is another way, that there is other music besides the stuff that they're bombarded with daily? Can you expound on that?
Well, my thing is this, you know, because as a youth, I loved hip-hop, too, and I grew up with hip-hop initially, you know, but back at that time, especially around the late 80s, there was a different level of consciousness even within hip-hop, you know, so people who were listening to rap weren't, they weren't just listening to slackness, you know, there was a political message and a cultural message that a couple of different groups were, you know, putting out there. Every day, you know, I have my youth, because I teach high school, I teach 9th through 12th grade, you know, and every day I have students asking me about my locks, should I wear my head wrap every day, and what is Rastafari, because they know, you know, that I'm different than most of the other teachers, you know, and I try to tell them, we have to, the youth have to look at their situations, look at their families, look at the cycles of poverty that have existed, you know, from generation to generation, and the dysfunction that they see their family going through, pain and suffering and drama, you know. And I say, well, there's a reason for it, you know. There's everything is because of something else, you know. It's a series of cause and effects, and it goes all the way back to slavery, you know. So, you know, to be ignorant of the reasons and the processes why Latino people, African people are in the social dynamics that we are in right now, is it all ties back, you know. So we have to know our history and our culture, you know, and music, it carries an energy. I'm trying to tell these youth that the music carries an energy, and you can feel it in your spirit, you can feel it in your health. If you're listening to a certain kind of music all the time, you know, that's promoting just being up in a club and getting drunk and, you know, partying material things or whatnot, you know, the energies that surround you are not positive, you know. When you listen to reggae music, and I let them hear it in the classroom, you know, it surrounds you with a different spirit, surrounds you with a different protection, a different vibe, you know. And I'm really trying to make them feel that, you know, that it's esoteric, it's not something that you can really put your finger on, but I'm trying to, you know, let them know that the spirit that this music carries is so powerful that it can protect you, you know, and it can set your mind state in a different pattern than if you just listen to that slackness and garbage on the radio all day. And I'm not saying all hip-hop is garbage, because I really and truly, you know, I honor and I respect the artists who keep hip-hop pure and who have a positive message, you know?
That's the important thing, the positive message, because we know that the powers that be, you know, say, well, we don't have to do anything. They do our bidding for us when they keep these negative images up there, because, you know, I mean, for instance, like, say this guy, we don't like to mention him often, O'Reilly, that comes on Fox News, you know, he may disagree, he may come to the same conclusion that I may come to, but for totally different reasons. You know, it's like, see, my thing is, I grew up in a different generation than you did. I grew up with singers. I love singing. Now, if I hear somebody rapping or rhyming, it's more like you say, conscious. It's like the last poets, people from back in the 60s, that time. But today, it's gotten into just minstrel shows. You know, serious thing, sis.
And I try to tell my, I try to tell them, you know, back in the days of slavery, I tell my youth this, because I hit them real hard with this type of information. You know, the slave master gave us the day of Sunday to get drunk all day and wanted us to be drunk all day on holidays and on the weekends. So we wouldn't rebel. Because when our minds are overcome with alcohol and drugs and partying and, you know, materialism, we're not thinking about the bigger picture, which is the fact that we ain't got nowhere in this country yet. You know, we haven't got where we need to be. You know what I mean?
Seriously.
So I try to draw that connection, you know. Every other song you hear on the radio is about getting drunk and getting high and, you know, men having more than one woman. And
bling, bling.
and bling and material, you know. But I try to tell them that's the trick of capitalism. They let a few of us make it so that we actually feel like we're getting somewhere. But the majority of us are not. And I see the youth in my classrooms who are the youth of crackheads and drug addicts and gangbangers. And, you know, it's a crisis. It's a crisis that we're facing right now. So I'm saying all this partying, you know, it's good to free up and live up and experience life and enjoy life. I would never take that away, you know, because our people are good at celebrating. You know, we do it well, you know.
And yes, sir.
We have enough to rejoice of. But I'm saying, you know, let's rejoice when hard work is done. Let's rejoice when, you know, we are restoring proper consciousness to our people. If we're not doing that, we don't have no time for partying and drinking in the club. Because, like I said, all that's keeping us from doing is rebelling against what I still consider the slave master to this day. It's, you know, 500 years later, it's the same thing.
It's a continuum.
Absolutely.
Serious thing. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, has any of your students gone to see you perform?
A couple. Yeah, just a couple. In the past few years, I've performed in a few venues in California. You know,
Dreadstock. I'm thinking of, because that's the one where you got some big raves for your performance.
Yeah, that was one of the most recent shows that I've done, and it, you know, it was a blessing to perform at that show. I actually got put on the slot, which is unusual for me as a new artist. I got put on the slot right before Barrington Levy. And, you know, that kind of caused a few waves. But after the show, everybody was kind of understanding.
Who was on that venue, that show, sis?
Oh,
besides Barrington Levy.
Wow, Bamboo Station, Junior Reed, Waddy Gadd, Earl Zero.
Heavyweights.
Yeah, Horse Mouth was there. I'm trying to think who was on the second day. It was a number of different. Africa Bambaataa was there.
It was
a very unusual collaboration of artists.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that was successful. The Dreadstock was successful this year?
There are a lot of people came out to it, and it's a new venue. It's the second year running, you know, and a lot of people came out to it. So, yeah, it was a big success, but we want to keep it growing still, you know, because the area that it was, that is held in, is Vallejo, you know. It's not really known for having big festivals. Most of the festivals in California are associated with the summertime, either in Humboldt or the Sierra Nevada World Music Festival in Angels Camp, you know. So bringing a festitude of this magnitude to the Bay Area is crucial, you know, and there isn't enough going on in the Bay right now. So, you know, we really want to keep promoting it so that we can keep this going and make it a standing tradition, the same as Reggae on the River, you know.
Well, you mentioned that to me, I think the other day, the fact that you were originally from New York and you like it out there, but it's still, you want to expound on that too? How do you feel about California?
What's excellent about California is the fact that pretty much anywhere you go, you have such a wide, diverse population. You know?
Important.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, there are certain areas in this country where it's just either black or white, you know. But here, you know, we have, of course, a tremendous Latino population. We have a huge Asian population, not just Chinese, Japanese, but new immigrants that are coming, you know, Hmong immigrants, Mien immigrants, Vietnamese, Polynesian, Samoan, Tongan, who love reggae. You know, I have to give enough respect, you know, because they really appreciate and love reggae. We have, you know, Filipinos, we have Native Americans, we have a whole lot of people, Russian. It's just a lot of different people in California, and I think one of the best things about California is that we kind of have, because we're forced with this diversity, you know, mm-hmm. we have a greater appreciation of humanity, in a sense. I'm not saying everybody, you know, mm-hmm. but in a mm-hmm. sense, just because we have to live around so many different people, and I take it as a learning opportunity. I don't know if everybody does, but I take it as a learning opportunity, you know. So that's great, and Cali's great for the weather, too.
I was thinking you was going to touch on what we were talking about the other day, but it's the
yeah. Because if you're from back east, then you know that, you know, the east is blessed with the disbursement of African peoples from the diaspora.
Okay.
You know, either from Africa or from Caribbean or from, you know, wherever. But you know, there is a greater diversity of African peoples back east than on the West Coast.
Well, something you said to me, let me see if you can remember, it's about when people look at you mm-hmm. and their perception, mm-hmm. because they're not used to seeing, was that the reason you said that, because they're not used to seeing people that look like you, not like that you're any kind of weird looking person, but like, say for my daughter, for instance, people have a tough time figuring out mm-hmm. what she is. They say, oh, you Latino, or you this, you know, and so is that, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, you know, initially, there is a growing Puerto Rican population in the West Coast, but, you know, people have a tendency out of their, you know, I'm not going to say ignorance in a negative way necessarily, because they may not even know, you know, but mm-hmm. people have a tendency to just kind of lump all of you together, you know, like, oh, she speaks Spanish, or she must be Mexican, you know what I mean?
Ah, that's what it was,
and,
yeah.
And it's like, no, you have to understand that, you know, there is a tremendous variation in Spanish-speaking peoples, you know, I mean, you know, you could be Mexican, you could be El Salvadorian, you could be Dominican, you could be Puerto Rican, you could
right,
be Cuban.
Right.
You know,
right,
and
right.
you understand. I think people back east understand that a little bit better. The majority of Latinos in the West Coast are Mexican, you know, or mm-hmm. you know, from Central America. So.
Right.
Yeah, you know, you gotta deal with that a little bit, but.
So okay, now when are you gonna be doing some music live?
Well, right now I am in the process of putting together a tour for 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am a full-time teacher.
that's a tough job, I tell you.
Yeah, you know, and I teach in a traditional school with a year-round school.
Right.
You know, I really and truly don't free up until the summertime.
Okay.
However, come next fall, that may change. You know, I may decide to focus on music next year, you know, and just hit the road and be able to travel, you know. But as of right now, it looks like, you know, in the summertime is when I'm really going to try to hit it hard, you know.
How long did you work on this album, Healing?
Healing actually was a project that started in 2003.
Okay.
Was recorded in over the process of about 4 to 6 months in 2003. It's being released now. However, it's a few years old.
So you're working on new material then?
Absolutely. I'm on my third album now. I have another album. Healing is definitely my debut album. The very first album, I wrote every song myself with the help of a producer named Alan A.G. Gordon of Green Sphere Records out here in Cali, out of Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was my very first project. I was the executive producer, and I wrote every song. And it was, you know, my baby, my first attempt, you know, and at this point, I have another album that is going to be released in 2006 out of Puerto Rico. That's a collaboration with Max Rivera or Roots Nati.
My friend Max, yes, okay. I know him.
Okay, and Uziel Levy, who also works with Max at Roots Nati Records. So, yeah, that'll be coming out in 2006. I also have tracks that are going to be released on a woman in reggae CD that's coming out through Mount Nebo Records, through Bamboo Station, in spring of this year. So I'm really looking forward to that because it should be some nice, a nice compilation of sister in reggae. So, yeah. And then on top of that, I have another, you know, my next album is going to be in production here in California within the next month, as a matter of fact. So I'm trying to keep works coming out. You know, I'm really, really inspired right now. I'm writing. I'm in the studio all the time. So,
you know what? I somehow envision you being backed by Bamboo Station or the I-Grade Posse, you know, or some of those brethren from VI, I mean, like Zioneers. And, you know, I mean, I can just imagine you with them because I know the kind of musicians they are, you know, musicians that I've seen. I'd love to see you on tour because the sound, I'm telling you, sis, you know, it's important that we have artists such as yourself, specifically women, to carry the torch of reggae music because, you know, it's a male dominated kind of thing, you know that. And, and then I think everybody went kind of crazy. Well, I won't say that. I'm an opinionated person. With the Sinead O'Connor CD, everybody's calling that the best. Well, some people call it the best album of the year. And why no Jamaican woman or woman of color hasn't done any of these classic songs? There's a deeper, I'm not going to even get into it, but there's something deeper because Roger Steffens called last Sunday and we touched it, but we didn't expound on it. You know, that Sly and Robbie, and I say all praises to Sly, Robbie, and Sinead for promoting reggae music, making reggae music much more popular, but there's some underlying things there, you know, because the question is, why hasn't a woman from Jamaica done classic reggae tunes before, such as Sinead? But we're not going to talk about that now, you know. You know, but like I said, I give praises to Sly and Robbie because, see, I look at it as a two-way thing going on there because Sly and Robbie, even though the musicians know them very well and they get enough respect, I don't know if they would have been on Letterman without Sinead O'Connor. You know what I'm saying? So it's like a one hand wash the other in this kind of thing. She's getting what she wants, and I really believe she's dedicated and really feels this music and is doing it not for any kind of hype, but because she really loves the music. And so she's benefiting and getting what she wants, and Sly and Robbie are benefiting because they're getting bigged up. They're getting much more publicity, which they well deserve because they are ambassadors that have been carrying the reggae torch for years and years and years. Yes, I won't say no more on it though.
And
I will say this: I want to get back into playing because I'm on until 4 o'clock, and you caught me while I was at the station today, sis.
I finally caught the time change, right?
I know John called. He called me 2 weeks ago. He says, "Hey, a woman called here, and she said I told her you missed her," and then he says that you missed him, and then you called last week, missed him again. So, but I'm glad that we finally connected, and your CD is, I said, it's the featured CD today.
It's,
I think,
right.
4 hours of women. So we're gonna carry it. Pretty much, I don't know how much many more cuts I'm going to play on it, but I got till 4 o'clock. I'm going to play a couple more cuts on it. And we're going to come back again to you, sis. And keep me abreast of what's going on.
Yeah.
And when that new music comes out, Please.
All right. Well, yeah, I just want to say, you know, anybody who's interested in the project, please visit my website at www.madremana.com. The album Healing is the first album that's up for sale on the website, you know, and we really, really appreciate your time, and I'm honored to be a part of the airwaves right now, you know, on this day. And so I just give thanks and tell everybody, look forward to Mother Sister coming out, you know, and this is a power that won't be stopped. I have no doubts, you know, I have utmost faith. This is Jah Rastafari music. This is his message. It is his time, so won't fail, you know.
Yes, indeed, sis.
Won't fail, so look forward to more. And give thanks, Rothschild.
Oh, sis, say something about the Madre Mana, because maybe everyone doesn't overs what that means. And it's simple to I and I, but, you know, just explain it to the masses out there listening.
Okay, too. Well, like I said, I got the name Mother Sister because for the half of my life, I've been an advocate for my sister in the community as a sister and my brethren as well, and for the youth, you know. So through various different functions that I've been involved with, I gained the name Mother Sister for being that figure in the community that people can come to and look up to and, you know, receive enough vibes from. So anyway, Madre Mana is just a translation of Mother Sister, Madre Hermana, Mother Sister. So yeah, Malika Madre Mana is just Mother Sister, and that's who I am.
And that's right on it, and that's couldn't explain it any better. And I want to thank you for calling in today. I want to thank you for being who you are and presenting the world with reggae music and a sister that's doing positive works with the youth.
Mm-hmm. Give thanks. It's God's work, you know. It's the best work that there is. So,
well, sis, check this out before you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you know, to do it, sis.
Give thanks. Enough power, you know, more power.
One love, Jah guide and protect.
I bless it.
Isis, sis.
Some would let the pressure give in, but still there are some who have been there. We break through the rock from within, cause we know that the strength they try to steal has never been stolen yet. The lives they took, they represent an unpayable debt, redder than red. The blood, the strength to fight and win is in the blood. Triumph, following, suffering is in our blood. To them it's a valuable thing. We taught them that Africa dispersed first blood nations, where our foremothers gave birth. When our forefathers ruled kingdoms, they claimed that our people were cursed. What's worse, they forced us up into their country, hoping that our bloodlines would thin. They tried to genocide, but since slavery, they don't know the blood has sticking within. And still they carry on as if we don't recognize that vampires today, they pray wearing suits and ties, lost in their eyes for us. They shall fail. Babylon could never delude we, our lineage. spirit shall prevail, 'cause we know that the strength they try to steal has never been stolen yet.
Yes, Binghamton, I have to interrupt the sister right here, but this is not a scheduled interview, but we have Kwa from Young Elders on the line. You want to give him a rundown? My brother, are you there? Are you there, Kwa? Hello? Yes, my brother, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I was hitting the wrong button, man. So, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we have Kwa from Young Elders on the line, and you want to tell them, well, I don't have the music with me today, but what you could do is give them the site where they can get the music, my brother.
Okay, well, first I just want to say greetings to everyone, you know, everyone who's a reggae fan and whatnot in this holiday time, you know. If you want to check us out, you can check us out at www.young-elders.com, and you know that's our website. You could check us out there, or you could go on CD Baby and check us out as well, and you could have some song clips and stuff, and you know, kind of see what we're dealing with, you know.
Sounds good, man. Sounds good. And I just want to say holiday greetings to you and your family, my brother. And
thanks, and
I have to give you credit, because you know, the independent artists, the struggling artists that are not with any major labels, have to do it all by themselves. And I give you enough respect for that, my brother.
Well, I give you a lot of respect too for even giving us a chance too, you know, because a lot of times, you know, ones don't want to really play independent artists and stuff like that, and you have done that for us over and over, you know.
Well, listen, brother, you know, anytime I could help any kind of way, even if it comes to venues, you know, if I could help in that way, you know, we will be in touch, and we will do an interview in the coming New Year very soon, folks. New Year's Eve, I'm scheduled to be on next week, New Year's Day, actually, so if I can make it in here, you know, I will be here, and it's a possibility that we could do it then, if you up for doing an interview next Sunday.
Yeah, sure. I'll be there.
Well, we will verify in the week and on the time, you know, because it's going to be another 6 hours, so we don't want to pin down a time yet. So I just want to say, Kwa from Young Elders, folks, is tuning in from Europe. you're in New York, right?
Yeah, I'm in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Yeah. So we know we have enough people in Brooklyn because you're the second person from New York, Manhattan, another person from Manhattan called and is listening to the show.
Okay.
So, yeah, man. So enough respect for the listeners and enough respect for players of instruments and singers, you know, and you've been doing it. And we won't talk any further because we'll save it for next week, my brother.
Right.
And thank you for calling.
And give thanks for giving me a little bit of time, okay?
All right, my brother.
All right, take care.
Bless. Excuse me, sister. This is Malika returning again with those great vocals. Go there. Run it, sis.